Right now, we look forward to our conversation with the Rangers beat writer for The Athletic, and he has been doing some really good stuff for them this season. It is, of course, Levi Weaver. What's going on, man? How you doing? Let's put him on. Levi, is he there? There he is.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, you know, I have an RV. If you guys need to rent one to drive to Cooperstown, we could work something out here.
That would actually be awesome.
That'd be a good article. I mean, that'll give you a little ammunition for an article.
And we could do a show the entire way there.
Why not?
Yeah, we just broadcast remotely from, like, the back of the RV.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It's all doable.
All right.
All doable, guys.
I would definitely look into that. So, it's been not exactly the most exciting of Rangers seasons. So, obviously, as we get close to the trade deadline, you kind of look for that to pull some excitement out of it. But Cole Hamels moving on, going to Chicago. What do you make of that trade and the return, not perhaps as high as we would have liked, but a couple more young arms to add to the system?
Yeah, I mean, there are two things that are true. And the first is that any team that is selling, people that are close to the team, fans of the team, are never going to, well, maybe not never, but are rarely ever going to think that the return is amazing. And especially now, as the market changes, you know, it used to be, even 5-6 years ago, as teams were invested more in rental type players, you'd get a bigger package back. But we've just seen a market shift for the last couple of years, and these rental type guys, and that's what Hamels is, I don't think they're going to sign into the extension, they're just not bringing back what they used to bring as teams value their younger guys more and more. And that's what we saw in the offseason with the free agency too. I mean, you know, I had guys going until January, even February. There were guys into spring training that hadn't signed. And that's just kind of the way that the market goes. But the other thing is, with Hamels, they had to trade him. I don't think that they were in a great place of negotiation, because Texas, likewise, wasn't going to sign the option for next year. And so the buyout was $6 million. At that point, if you do that, he's a free agent and you get nothing for him, right? And you could offer him a qualifying offer and then get a draft pick in return. But if you offer them a qualifying offer, then that's going to be $17 or $18 million anyway. He's going to take that, and then he's getting paid more than if you just signed the option. So I think they knew that, and the other teams knew as well, Texas had to move him. And so your return isn't going to be as heavy as it would have been if Texas had, say, the leverage of the Rays with Chris Archer. They don't have to trade Chris Archer.
Why do you think why do you think the Rangers were reluctant last season to move Cole Hamels if they knew that they were not going to be able to bring back Yu Darvish most likely, and that they weren't going to be big spenders in the free agent market? They had to know that this was likely lining up to be a rough year. Why do you think they didn't try to maximize his return in prospects last season?
You know, I'm guessing a little bit here and just going on what I heard from the front office, but I think it had everything to do with Adrian Beltre. You know, he's never won a World Series ring. They wanted to keep him around. The fans love Beltre. The fans, you know, if you sell off Hamels and Beltre before a season starts, you're pumping before the season even begins. So they needed to maintain some interest in the team, and who knows? You know, it's not like they had a terrible team. The rotation wasn't great, but if everything breaks the right way, they could contend for a wild card. Who was to know that the American League would be so impenetrable this year? And they did last year. You know, up until around the middle of September, they were in the hunt for a wild card team. So I think it had to do with convincing not just the fans, but also Adrian Beltre, like, look, we're not going to go out and spend a mint on free agents, but we are going to try to compete. And then if things don't break well and you want to go chase a ring, then we'll talk about that. We'll send you someplace to chase a ring. But I think they just needed, I think it was partially the optics of it and partially the hope that maybe everything would break right.
Levi Weaver joining us. He, of course, covers the Rangers for The Athletic. Now we kind of move on again. We're, what, 3 days away, or almost exactly 3 days away from the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, and we're seeing all kinds of the rumors swirling. Keone Kellah, obviously, the next big name that might be moved. Is that something the Rangers are looking at potentially because of the prospects it could bring back, moving a guy that's been such a success for them this year that's under team control for a couple more seasons?
Sure, yeah. I think that's just it. You know, if you know you're not going to compete for another couple of years, closes are fickle. I mean, we've seen that. If any team knows that, it's us. Between, you know, Joe Nathan, Sean Tolleson, Sam Dyson, and Alex Claudio, and there's been a different closer every year. Caleb's value, I don't think, is ever going to be higher than it is right now. And so if they can get some sort of a return from him, like we've seen from closers in the last couple of years, I mean, obviously he's not Aroldis Chapman, but that wasn't that long ago that Aroldis Chapman got a monster return. If you can really bolster this next push in this window to try to prop it open and make it a 5-6 year window instead of a 1 or 2 year window, starting in, you know, 2020 through 26, if you can get guys that are going to be, you know, every prospect is a lottery chip, I guess. But yeah, if you can get a package that is going to help you out in those years, I think you take it.
Now, this certainly breeds uncertainty in the locker room whenever you combine uncertainty if you're going to be, you know, living in the same house for the next couple of months, combined with the struggles of the season. What's your read on the mood and the attitude in the locker room right now?
They're professionals, you know, and they understand, but it's a person by person thing. I think it's very easy to, for me included, to sort of look at, oh, this clubhouse is upset or this clubhouse is in great shape. And frankly, it's not that uniform. I think there are guys that have been around for a while and understand the process. It sucks to lose a bunch of games, and it sucks to have the uncertainty of the trade deadline. It's not comfortable this week. But there are guys that know this is going to pass, and then whatever happens, happens. There are other guys that it's stressful. And, you know, they've got, whether it be families or just wives or girlfriends or even just, like, it's stressful not knowing where I'm going to live in 4 days. That can get the guys. And so, you know, combine that with, I think when the decision was made to send down the lineup the Shields and insert Carlos Tochi into the starting lineup, I think there were some people that, even when your team is losing, like, you still want to win baseball games, and they thought that that did not give them the best lineup to win games. I think that's been kind of eased a little bit in the last 3 days because Tochi's been hitting the ball. He's actually been not bad in center field, so I think that probably smooths things over a little bit. It's stressful.
I think some of the names that we've kind of thrown out there that we see, I mean, whether it's Kella or Alex Claudio, Diekman, some of these guys, even Beltre to an extent, wouldn't be as surprising to see them if they can make a move. But one name that I saw this morning that's hitting the trade rumor mill, Joey Gallo. And I kind of thought, whoa, okay, I didn't even realize that was a possibility. How serious are these conversations, and is it a real possibility that Joey Gallo might not be a Ranger by Wednesday?
I don't think that there's a whole lot of legs to that. I think every player has a price. So if teams want Joey Gallo and are willing to pay Joey Gallo prices, you know, teams want Nomar Mazara and are willing to pay Nomar Mazara prices. The Rangers have a lot of good left-handed hitters. And so, you know, between, let's run through the lineup. We got Guzman, Odor, Mazara, Gallo. I'm forgetting at least somebody here. Chu, I guess, he's left-handed. He's got a position of strength there. And so if they can flip him for somebody who is potentially a front of the rotation starter, and they still have enough good, strong left-handed bats, it's a possibility. I just don't know if teams are going to want to pay the price that the Rangers have on Gallo. So we'll see. I just haven't heard a whole lot of rumors on that beyond, you know, I saw Evan's column yesterday, Evan Grant from the Dallas Morning News. Every team is going to check in. And I don't get the impression that is an imminent thing.
Are you buying into the rumor that the Rangers have become the minor league farm system of the Chicago Cubs and that they're merely there to bolster their lineup?
All right. Jeff Bannister said yesterday called them the Rangers Midwest.
Well, it used to be Baltimore, right? Was Rangers Northeast.
Yeah. Rangers Northeast, yeah. Yeah, it's crazy. We were running through a list of players that even in the last couple of years have gone there, but, you know, expanded out in the last 10 years. The Cubs definitely had a lot of former Rangers.
Well, and it seems like they've gotten the better of pretty much every trade that has happened also over the last couple of years, too, so that's a little alarming.
Yeah, that's frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see how these all turn out. We'll see how Hamels is for the rest of the season in the Cubs blue and red, and maybe we can you'd never wish for somebody to be unsuccessful, for sure, but maybe these guys will pan out. And we still don't know who the player to be named later is. I think that's also going to be an interesting factor.
There you go.
Maybe it's John Lester.
Maybe it's Chris Bryant.
There's no way to know.
Right. Never know if it's Javi Baez until it's not.
Right, exactly. I mean, they didn't say who it's going to be. It'll be named later. All right, finally, before I let you go, Levi, come Tuesday, are they going to make other deals? Will you be surprised if Hamels is the only guy?
Oh, I'll be shocked if Hamels is the only guy. Yeah. No, I think it's weird to say this, because the bullpen guys are the ones that I feel like I get along with the best, but I feel like Diekman and Kella are probably definitely gone. I wouldn't be surprised to see Claudio go, and yeah, those are the only ones that I would feel like, if I had to guess, I would think that those three at least would be. Oh, Corey Guerin is the other one, the guy that they got from the Giants. In the Austin Jackson deal, the whole point there was to get Jason Barr. But Guerin's been pretty great, aside from one bad outing. So I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, I have definitely heard people with other organizations mention that, yeah, Guerin is he's available. It just depends on, again, what the everybody's got their price. So
yeah. All right, man. We appreciate it. Thanks so much for jumping on with us. Enjoy your. Are you down in Houston, I'm assuming?
I am, yeah. I'm roaming the concourse of Minute Maid Park right now.
Well, there you go. Enjoy H-Town.
All right, we'll see you guys.